course, Madhuri Leela, who's in Toronto, but she, of course, has been a great mainstay of our program. Well over 100 devotees in this community that we know of have done different activities or different volunteer projects of devotee care over the last year or two. Now, there's probably many we don't even know about. We don't have a monopoly on devotee care. Many devotees just do this spontaneously, where they see the need, where they see a need to help their fellow devotees or the fellow man, woman, whatever. So we really appreciate that. In fact, our goal is really not to try to be the one and only devotee care provider, but to be perhaps an umbrella organization. We want to make partnerships with other organizations who are doing these things. And one of our most important partnerships is, of course, with the new Raman Reddy Temple. So we're very, very thankful for the support we've been given by Mother Mukhya and the temple in this endeavor, and we all are working together for that. In fact, many people don't even realize that the temple and Mukhya are constantly going out of their way to help devotees in so many different ways that people don't even know about. So again, our thanks to Mother Mukhya and the temple. But the temple cannot do it all. There are about 2,000 devotees in this community, and there's a handful of full-time staff in the temple, which reminds me of a very quick story I'll tell, which I told before. Since this is the celebration of Radhana Swami's appearance, which was actually yesterday, it's on Pearl Harbor Day, I remember that, because we were both born December 1950, myself. Anyway, 10 or 15 years ago, there was this big Mayapur Leadership Sangha, where hundreds of leaders from all over the world had all come together. I was in the GBC then. And the final day, we had this devotee care symposium or panel discussion. And I was on it, I don't know why. Radhana Swami, Jayapataka Swami, a couple other sannyasis, I don't remember. But anyway, I felt a little intimidated. But at any rate, at the end of it, there's about 800 temple leaders in the audience. One temple president holds up his hand and says, "All this about devotee care sounds wonderful. I completely agree with it. But how can we do it, especially if we're a small temple? Can the temples really be expected to do this?" And Radhana Swami took the question. He thought for a little while. And he said, "No, probably the temples cannot." He said, "But the communities can, and the communities must provide devotee care." So that's what we're trying to encourage everybody to do, for all of us as a community, to together help the devotees. And in our Seva Care organization, we help in many ways with spiritual, physical, emotional support, connecting the community with medical assistance, hospital visits, providing rides to appointments, meal trains, advocacy, home checks, companionship, reading, nursing home visits, letter writing, phone calls. We also have a very extensive Meals on Wheels program that we will be developing even more this next year, end-of-life care, and grief counseling. Those are just a few of the activities that we're doing, and we're trying to always expand that, and we can expand with all of your help. So now we have a list of our devotee care providers, and these will be read by a couple of our members, Mother Sukrita Prabhu and Krishna Kishore Prabhu. And we have a lot of names, so they're just going to be reading them off quickly here, maybe saying a couple words themselves. Afterwards, if your name has been read, we have a small gift for you, a Nrsinga Pavitra from Mayapur, and it will be at our Seva Care temple, right out here, over here. So I'm pointing the right way here. So be sure to come by and see us and get more information at our booth today. Okay, so we'll start with, you went to the first couple pages, and you deserve the next, or go ahead. Here's one. Okay.
So I just wanted to say that we have a very special devotee family. And, you know, in a family that's functional, if there's something wrong with one of the members, then everybody comes to support them and help them. So we're trying to make sure that happens in our devotee family, that we're always there for people who are in need in some way, emotionally, physically, you know, mentally. So these are some of the devotees, like he said, that have helped in the past, and I'm sure there's many more, but I'm just going to read through it pretty quickly. And a thank you to everyone for what you do. So Brunti and Abhay Singh, Adi Dave and Shiladitya, Adi Gopi Priya and Mandaleshwar Aditi, Ananda Krishna, Ananga Manjari, both of them, Avrutis and Rico, Ananta Ross, and Anastasia, and Asasaki. And many of these people, like if a devotee's in a hospital, a devotee's come home, they'll make a special meal and bring it over, and that is such a healing and rewarding experience for the recipient and for the giver. I know that I'm just so happy to be able to help devotees and strengthen that bond, you know, it feels so good. Atmanivedana Nadas and Narayani, Balavi and Balavanta, Banumati, Brahmatirta and Bhakti, Chaturatman Pashupati. Like Pashupati is a perfect example. She can't get around a lot, but she's on the phone always encouraging people and, you know, being the link that gets things done. So, you know, any situation, you're still able to give and help. Christina and Dakshinavari, Damodar Kovi and Damodar Priya, Jayasita, Deva Prasta, Dr. Abhiram Gopal and Dr. Anand Kishori Das. I can't say enough about them and what they've done for us. Advaitacharya and Shred Bihari also. Sri Anita Modi, Dr. Gaur Shakti and Krishadam. Prasanatma, Prema Sankirtan and Sri Gurangi, Sai Narayan. Hedge, Dr. Tamahara Das and Mantrini. Eugene Roman, Gaya Dasi and Manglananda. Jean and Jane. And Ghanasham, Gopapatni, okay, I'm getting faster here. Indrani and Ingrid, Ishwa, Tumari, Jagarini, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Chaitanya, Jai Shri Dasi, Kishori and Sharadiya, Jitamrita, Joanne Caruso, Kapalatika, Kamala Manjari, and Kasturi Manjari, Keshi Hunter and Devaki, Kirtaniya and Varuna, Kirtita, Kirti Raj and Haripuja, Krishna Priya and Radhika Cruz, Krishna Kata and Murlidhar, Kunja Bihari and A.V., Lalita Davis, Lalita Saki, Dasi Persho, Leslie and Jai Govardhan Das, Lila Padma, Lila Nanda and Radha Priya, Lila Sukha, Lileshwari, Madhavi Barshalo, Madhumati and Shesha, Mahamaya, Mahendrani, Mahesh, and Brihari Naradiya Purana, Mahodari, Manmohini, Max, Mohan, and Vrindagopi, and Mukya, and Mulika. So a very special thank you. And if any of you somehow that didn't make it in the list, but you've been giving, let us know so we can add you to the list.
You know who it wasn't on there? Madhurya Leela. She didn't put herself on.
And Madhurya Leela.
So, well, that's not the end of the list. There's still more. That was M, so now we're starting at N. So before I start, I just wanted to say sometimes it may seem daunting to add more tasks in your everyday life, balancing responsibilities, your spirituality, and everything like that. But just the small things, like Mother Sukada was saying, a phone call, any way that maybe your profession, you're connected, you do therapy or couples counseling, you know, there's so many ways to serve the community and to do service to the young children, creating more activities in the temple. So please feel inspired to get creative of how we can care for one another. Namamrita Nanda, Nandi Pushpavan, Nandini Kishori, Narataka Gopal, Nataka Chandrika, and Radha Damodar, Nikunja Visini, Nila Kurana and Janava, Nirmala and Devarshi, Nitai Lila, Oksana, Padma Lochana, Param, Parijata, Pranada, Prima Manjari, Primanjali, Priya Radha, Shri Krishna, Purana Rishi, Radha Krishna and Aratika Dasi, Ragatmika and Karnapur, Ram Govinda, Ramaya and Radha, Ramanya, Rangavati and Jatari, Rasa and Saranga Tarkur, Rasa Manjari, Sachimata, Prada, Samapriya and Dhruva Maharaj, Sankalpa, Sandra Springer, Sarala Sakshi Gopal, Sharanagati, Shama Dasi Myers, Shikshashtakam, Shri Kishori, Shri Vrindavan, Shruti Rupa, Shruti Sagar, Sri Tama, Subeshta Gautam, Subhra Sujana Sukada Elsie Sukada Stimpel Swarga Tapasvini Tatiana Ukova Tisha Surit and Hanan Vaishnavi Itakat Vasanta and Ravi Vedamata Vegavati Veronica Vijayarada Virabhadra Vishnupriya and Gojruma Vishnupriya Rosario and family Vrajakishori Hutchison, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrindavan Leela, and Yovanandana and Panchatattva. Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna. Because of, we're a little short on time, I think I'll not chant Jai Radha Madhava, and we'll go to our verse, if we can get it up, which will be Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 63. So as we said, we're going to speak a little bit about the idea of Vaishnav Seva and devotee care in our class today. Though this is a very nice verse, I'll just read it through. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aham Bhakta, Prahadino, Yavasvantra, Iva Divija, Sharubir Grasta Hridayo, Bhaktair Bhakta Jana Priya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmin, and this is Durvasa Muni, of course, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. All the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Shadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payechi Keva. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Anadas Anadas. Thus, he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. Devotees like Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva Goswami are directly servants of Krishna. And one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur therefore says, Yasha Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is stating that one who is very dear to him is his devotee. And even a devotee of his devotee is very dear to him. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as quoted here, takes us one step further. He says, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, a householder. But he is, identifies as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Anadas Anadas, the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. It's from Madhya 1380. So this need to serve the devotees and the devotees of the devotees is stressed throughout our scriptures. So we appreciate and respect all of the devotees because the devotees are either serving directly Lord Krishna or they are serving those great devotees. We know that Srila Prabhupada, of course, is a great servant of Lord Krishna. We are trying to serve him, or we are serving his disciples who are serving him. And of course, it goes all the way back through the disciplic succession to Lord Krishna himself. So we are always servant of the servant of the servant. And that association of devotees is particularly relished by the devotees. Nice verse, Bhagavatam 4:24-57, says, "What to speak of any blessings on this earth or on Svarga? Even the blessing of liberation cannot compare with even a half a moment's association with the devotees of the Lord." And in the Padma Purana, as quoted in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 12, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods, the worship of the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. Be even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees. So this idea of serving the devotees, caring for the devotees, is an integral part of our scriptures, of our philosophy. And it's stated in so many different places like this. And of course, often these admonitions are to serve, of course, the great devotees, the pure devotees, the gurus. You know, and why? Because we receive Krishna's mercy first through the devotees. We actually don't receive Krishna's mercy directly from him in the beginning, but from his devotees. So here's one verse. It says, Lord shining brightly, the merciful devotees, easily crossing the insurmountable and terrifying ocean of material life, attain their goal using the boat of your lotus feet, bhakti. You show your mercy through your devotees. Bhagavatam 10:231. And so there are many examples like this about how Krishna's mercy doesn't come directly but comes through his devotees, especially into this material world. Now, we hear so many verses from the Bhagavatam and from our scriptures, and we might think, well, I'm not on that level. These are great pure devotees. How does this really apply to us? But these very merciful devotees that we read about and hear about, they're acharyas. That means they show by example. It's an example for us to learn from, to emulate, to understand what is it that we're striving for. What is the proper behavior of a devotee of the Lord, of a Vaishnava? So these merciful devotees show by example compassion and love for all living entities. Another verse that's in the from the Skanda Purana. O King, those who think of others' suffering as their own are the best of devotees, constantly engaged in serving the Lord. That's found in Bhakti Sandarbha, text 196. And from the Bhagavatam, 11:11-29. O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. He's tolerant towards all living entities. He dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. So this mood of compassion is what we see over and over again within the great devotees of the Lord. Those who are the most advanced are actually the most humble. Those who are actually advanced are ones who think of themselves as servant of others, who want to give their mercy to others, to want to help others. And we see that over and over throughout so many different examples. And so while we may not be able to imitate these great devotees, we are certainly meant to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. So we become inspired by their life, by their conduct, by their relationships with one another. So sometimes we think, well, these great devotees like Narada Muni, they're dispensing spiritual knowledge, but what does that have to do with somebody needs a ride to the doctor's office or something, you know? But actually, they show compassion for any suffering of the jiva or from the devotees. And we see that in the lives of so many of our gurus in our parampara line. Srila Prabhupada was, of course, a wonderful example of this. And there's so many stories. You can read so many of the different pastimes and of the remembrances where Prabhupada was always thinking of his devotees, of their welfare, if they were sick. He was very concerned. Being an Ayurvedic pharmacist, he actually sometimes had remedies that he helped to give the devotees to help them. You know, he didn't say, well, you're not your body, don't worry about it. No, he would try to help them. He didn't want us to suffer needlessly. If a devotee, he was always actually inquiring, whether devotees were getting enough prasadam, whether it was healthy, what their sleeping arrangements or what their quarters were. And you can see so many different examples of this from Srila Prabhupada, that he had this sort of love and care for his disciples. There's a very interesting story about Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, of course, was very, very renounced. He lived on practically nothing, lived in a hut. Sometimes he even lived near the latrine so people wouldn't bother him. And he was the symbol of renunciation, of vairagya. Yet, sometimes wealthy people would come to see him, hoping to get his blessings from Calcutta or wherever, coming to Mayapur, and they would give him donations. And he would often accept those donations. People weren't quite sure what he did with them. In fact, he asked his only disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was, of course, a very, he wasn't worldly, he wasn't materialistic, but he was competent. He was a great mathematician, astrologer, very competent person. And Gaurakishore, a very simple person, asked him if he could open a bank account for him. So he says, certainly I can do that, Guru Maharaj. And so he did. He opened a bank account. And one day, Bhaktisiddhanta was in Calcutta, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, came along, and Gaurakishore says to him, Prabhu, Maharaj, he says, I need 100 rupees. Can you get it out of the bank for me? He says, oh, I can't do it. I'm not a signer on the account. Only Bhaktisiddhanta can. He's out of town. He says, oh, I really need it now. So Bhaktivinoda said, oh, well, I'll loan it to you. You know, he was, you know, well-to-do man. Took 100 rupees out and gave it to him. He said, oh, thank you. Why do you need it? And he said, well, I just learned today that one of the devotees in Vrindavan was having a very difficult time and he needs some money. So I want to send it off to him right away. So he would take donations and he would never use them for himself, it turned out. He would only, you know, distribute these when he heard of somebody in need. You know, so he was always giving like that, you know, of anybody that he heard of. Another interesting story about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, you may have read this one. It's found in the Ray of Vishnu, the biography. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati noticed that his disciples, especially even though householders, wealthy householders, they'd be very, they'd walk by beggars or poor people, almost like, you know, turn their head the other way, you know, like they wanted nothing to do with them, and he was wondering why, and they said, oh, they're just materialistic, you know, we don't help them. And Bhaktisiddhanta was not happy at all. In fact, in his own unique way of expression of the English language, he said, this type of consideration by householders expresses a miserliness, mercilessness, and a lack of affliction for at others' distress. From this attitude, the heart becomes hard. I'm sorry, this is important. From this attitude, the heart becomes hard and attacked with niggardliness, which means basically miserliness. And as a result, the tendency to spend money, even for Vishnu's service, which is a means of one's own interest, disappears. In other words, if you don't want to give to anybody, eventually you're not even going to want to give back to Krishna or to anything, you know, anything spiritual. Then he says, to distribute mercy is the compulsory duty of householder Vaishnavas. Even though these poor people's miserableness might have been obtained by their own fault from their karma, they are still God's people. Therefore, to give them help is compulsory duty of well-to-do people. So this was the attitude, not just that we walk by and you know, totally uninterested in the suffering of others, but we are concerned. We feel that suffering. Otherwise, why would we even bother? Why would we bother to try to distribute books, to give out the holy name, to give out prasadam, to try to tell people about Krishna? Because we understand their suffering. If they were absolutely happy, what would be the problem? But we know that they're not. We know that everybody has to experience birth, death, disease, and old age, as well as all the other miseries of this material life. So on seeing those miseries, the devotee becomes unhappy. In fact, you know, this is from Prabhupada's purport of 4.647. As a Vaishnava is described as paradukha dukhi. Although he is never distressed in any condition of life, he is distressed to see others in a distressed condition. So that is the basis of the compassion of the devotees. The devotees are compassionate upon the distress of others when other people are experiencing any difficulties. Now, we also have a system according to our scriptures of how we deal with each other, how we deal with devotees. And the nectar of instruction on the verse 5 says there's the three classes of devotees. The Kanishtha is a beginning devotee, that one you should mentally honor them. The Majjhima are the middle class or intermediate devotees, and we should offer obeisances to them. And the Uttama, of course, is the pure devotee, the most exalted, and we faithfully serve the pure devotee. Now, Prabhupada said we should try to at least come to the Majjhima position. We all start out as neophytes, right? I did. We're all I am. We're neophytes. But we try to advance at least to the Majjhima position. And in text 4 of Nectar of Instruction, and in many other places, like in the 11th canto, these things are discussed. The Majjhima Adhikari makes a distinction between different categories of people and personalities. Actually, just yesterday morning, Akuti Prabhu gave a nice class on the Majjhima Adhikari. It was in the verse for Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the Majjhima, which we are striving to become, offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a sincere friend to all the devotees. He shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent. And he disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, if somebody is atheistic or inimical, we just don't, go away. we don't bother with them. As Akuti was saying, that if you get into an argument with an atheistic person, usually you end up mad, and they're mad, and nobody benefits, But Prabhupada said 95% of the people are innocent. It's only a small percentage that are really demoniac or atheistic. 95% are innocent. That means we should try to engage them, try to help them to advance in Krishna consciousness. So all these relationships are important, but for us, often our main interaction is really on that level of our fellow devotees, right? Where we make friendships with those devotees that are on similar levels. One might be a little more advanced, a little less advanced, but not that significantly different. So we want to develop those relationships in loving ways, and that becomes the framework for devotee care or serving devotees. And again, those exchanges are also discussed in the Nectar Devotion, verse 4. Vidati pratigrananti kuyam akhyati prichtiti bhunkte bujayate chaiva shadvidham pratilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by devotees with one another. So this pratilakshanam, exchanges of love, is there amongst devotees. So it's not like an impersonal thing. It's just I have this relationship with Krishna and nobody else, nobody else is around me. Leave me alone. It's just me and Krishna. No. Krishna's never alone. Krishna's with his devotees. In Vrindavan, there's thousands of cowherd boys and thousands of gopis and so many, thousands of cows. And they're all together and all in loving relationships. And we should also be like that, in loving relationships with one another. Now, it's kind of interesting that in Srila Prabhupada's purport to Nectar of Instruction, text 4, as well as mentioning individual devotee relationships, he spends a good deal of time talking about ISKCON as an institution and how ISKCON displays these six type of loving exchanges. He talks about distributing prasadam and people taking prasadam, people giving donations and the devotees giving books and giving spiritual knowledge like that. So I was thinking, this is my segue to Sevacare, that as an institution or an organization set up for devotee care, we try to do similar things. And we do try to engage devotees in these sort of loving exchanges. So we distribute prasadam. We have a Meals on Wheels program where devotees that are in need, who need to have meals delivered to them, we do that. And that is a program that we are going to be increasing greatly this year. We're getting more and more sources of prasadam, and we are going to be distributing 2 to 3 times the amount this year than we did last year, guaranteed, I think. So, and it's interesting, I was talking about partnerships. Where do we get prasadam? From the Lateral Learning Academy, from Krishna House, and starting January from Santa Fe Lunch Program, from the temple. And so in all these different ways, working with these organizations who all have nice commercial kitchens already set up, we're able to then find the people who have the need, get those lunches delivered, packed, and out to them, the people that need that. So that's a very important program that we want to expand. We offer assistance. The gift of assistance to devotees in many ways, donating time, resources. We've paid for devotees' funerals who weren't able to, who had no resources, things like that. The other one, of course, is the idea of hearing confidences and speaking confidentially to devotees. That's a very important thing. So many devotees need help, they need guidance, they just need sometimes an ear, someone to listen to, perhaps they need advice, perhaps they need... All of these kind of things are things that devotees can easily do for one another. And this happens, of course, doesn't have to be an institutional way. It can just happen, you know, the devotee lives next door, or, you know, your friend, or whatever it might be. So in so many ways that we're able to engage in these types of loving exchanges, priti lakshana, in a way that can really help and serve devotees. So we try to visit devotees, listen, read, often at end of life, try to be there, kirtan, reading, whatever is needed. We share resources, knowledge, as well as spiritual exchanges. We also try to put on classes or seminars, like recently in the spring, Partin Uttama came from Sharanagati and did a course on grihastha relationships that we sponsored, things like that. So it isn't just a matter of, sometimes people think of devotee care being like elderly people or people at the end of life and like that. That's certainly part of it, especially in this community because there's so many of us elderly people, you know, but no, it's meant for everyone to help the help householders, to help children, to help teens, youth, whatever it might be. And, you know, these are all programs, many of them in their infancy. I can't say we've got everything super really organized and like that, but we can do better, and we can do better with your help, is the point. So our message really is that everyone should develop a mood of service to devotees. It's very enlivening. Sometimes when devotees are really in distress, with counseling devotees over many, many years, I've noticed this, that sometimes devotees get so absorbed in their issue and their problem and what's bothering them, it's almost like they can't get out of it, they can't see beyond it. But sometimes then if a devotee takes another tact and they try to help others or see the needs of others, then somehow their own problems become somewhat better and they become more in perspective. So sometimes the very best way, you know, to help our own consciousness is to try to help others. It's a very, very valuable and wonderful thing to do. Because we're talking here about compassion, this idea of suffering only from the suffering of others. We're not always in that mood. It's a very advanced devotee who's feeling like that 100% of the time. But by practice, when we get into that mood, when we attempt to do things for others, then it becomes contagious. It becomes something that becomes very enlivening to us. It becomes very impactful in our own life, as well as impacting the life of others. So it's a very much a mutual, beneficial activity. If we can all get in this mood of caring for one another, of serving one another, and trying to help one another advance in Krishna consciousness, and also just help with our day-to-day problems and experiences that we all have in this material world. So I guess our message is to think about this. If your name wasn't called this year, next year, get on the list. Try to help us out. Give your time, give your resources, do something. It doesn't have to be a lot. You know, just do something. Just do something small if you can to try to help other devotees. Please visit our table. It's out there. You can learn more about Seva Care and what we're doing. And we also have, a few things to show you that are out there. So, I think that I always think being so grateful to be in this line of acharyas, and particularly Srila Prabhupada, who gave us this example of compassion. You know, Vaishnavism is a religion of compassion. compassion for the living entities, compassion for one another, helping one another to get out of this material world, which is the best thing we can do, and to help our fellow devotees ease the suffering a little bit on our way, on our journey back home, back to Godhead. Okay. Thoughts, questions?
When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, rescuing a soul from the external energy's fortress is million times more important than opening thousands of hospitals. How it relate to this? Can you give a little?
What was the quote you said? What was more important than opening hospitals?
Rescuing one soul from the Maya's fortress is more benevolent than opening thousands of hospitals.
Well, different moods, obviously, different times. Different things are emphasized by the acharyas, depending on time and circumstance. In other words, we never want to lose track of the highest spiritual benefit. That's ultimately what we want to. I forgot to say this. I was going to mention that the underlying principle behind all devotee care is spiritual care. That has to be the mood. That has to be the main idea, that it's spiritual care for the person, because it's based upon, it's coming from that platform of Krishna consciousness and seeing as and actually seeing every living entity as a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and seeing Krishna within that person and trying to, you know, really relate in that way. Now, so that's the highest level. But I think Bhaktisiddhanta was seeing that his disciples weren't really on that level. They weren't on that mood, and they were being just miserly. They were just being, you know, cheap. they didn't have the mood of helping. They didn't have a mood of service. Now, if they were doing all these other things, preaching and, you know, and all of that, it might have been a different thing. So I would say that's, in one sense, probably a time and circumstance instruction, you know, but it's also, I think it is instructive to us. And what I thought was important about that quote was the idea of so that their hearts would not become hard. In other words, if we become too, you know, that Bhagavad Gita quote, the you know, what is it, the wise man, you know, basically laments neither for the living nor the dead. You know, I mean, if you get too much in that mood, you know, it becomes kind of impersonal almost. It's like, you know, it's all one, it's all Brahman, what's the difference, you know? You know what I mean? So in other words, we don't want to be impersonal. Okay.
Thank you.
That's the best I could do on that one. But I thought of that too, that it is a little bit different than what we usually hear about, don't get too connected with, you know, material things and material help, but give spiritual help, yeah. Any other thoughts, questions, comments? And that, yes? David?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for this presentation. Actually, my comment is more in relation to Pran Govinda Prabhu's question, because what you're talking about is devotee care. So it's especially, these are the people who have already caught on to the spiritual importance of human life. Mm-hmm. And every one of them, what did Prabhupada say? They're like a B-52 bomber or something. Each one has been trained with so many hours to keep them healthy and happy and satisfied. That benefits all of humanity.
Absolutely. You know, that reminds me of one thing I was going to mention. When we started the strategic planning group in the GBC about 20 years ago, someone, that may have been Gopal Bhatta, came up with one of the best mission statements I've heard. It was four words. A forward mission statement for strategic planning for ISKCON was more devotees, happier devotees. That was, yes, we have to continue the preaching movement. That's our job, the outreach, to bring people. But they need to be happy. You know, we don't want the revolving door where they come in one door and go out the other. And we lose the devotees that, you know, didn't Prabhupada say it's so much blood, sweat, and tears to make a devotee? We don't want to lose them. You know, so we need to be thoughtful about devotees' needs and helping them.
Also, I'm just remembering in my own life, in the early decades, I was much more impersonal and fanatical, like so many of us. But as time went by, like first one sister and then another that needed attention or medical care. So I remember going up when my one sister had major surgery. My other sister and I went there and took turns. And then one time I was taking a train up to where she lived, and the train actually got derailed. And and this woman that had been in the same train car with me came and she said, I noticed you were, she saw my hand in my bead bag for quite some time, and she asked me about it. I told her, well, when the train got derailed, we ended up getting in very late to my sister's town, and this woman gave me a ride to her house. And she also taught part-time at Harvard and some other college. And she was asking me, and I said, well, in the beginning, it was hard for them to accept, but as time goes by, and just this being a human being and caring for a family member, that affects people. Oh, this Hare Krishna person cares. You know, so that's another comment.
Anything else? Ms. Sukhita?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a really nice class. And I just remember where Prabhupada said a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman, right?
Mm-hmm.
To sum it up. And so, and a perfect, you know, a perfect lady.
Mm-hmm.
So the manners and just everything that we can expect that from a devotee.
Yeah, yeah. No, our example is very important. And our example, not only to each other, but our example to the wider world is very important. You know, of how we're seen as caring, responsive people. Or are we seen as just sort of a selfish, very insulated, you know, almost cult type of thing? No, that's not what we want to portray. That's not who we are. Okay? Thank you so much. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.